Now, I had a question come in this week that I want to deal with first, and we probably will have time to get some other questions in. But, you know, I always look when questions come in, I always try to prioritize them in a sense that something that, you know, we can all learn from. And it's a thing where, you know, I want, I'm always looking for ways to give you a better layout of things and how to put your Bible together and all of that. And a question came in this week that I think it's a really good question. It's something that I deal with more than just this time. I don't know if you know it or not, but most of you who work with people do hear that God is using this church in an incredible way. And we have over 1,000 people that we are working with in one way or the other. And it just amazes me, you know, what he's doing here. I told somebody the other day, and boy, this is so true, you cannot build a church today of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, or whatever, without compromising. There is absolutely no way in the day and age that we can do that. But we're looking here, and the way that God is doing is that we've got a church of over 1,000 people, but they're not in one place. And it's because of the ability to reach out. I don't know if you know this or not, but Sunday we had a guy from Switzerland who's listening. We have a guy, a family from in Holland, in England, all through Mexico, and, you know, South America. And it's just where, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And it's a thing where out of the covert disaster, you know, God opened up these opportunities for people. And I get calls from them all the time. I on a daily, weekly basis, I have pastors who call me that are out there that are struggling with things in the Bible. I have people that are on a website that call me. And you know, and it's a thing where, to me, it's and I know many of you are working out there with people across this country. You know, I just talking to, I forget even who it was up here a few moments ago, and, you know, they got people that they're working with all across this country. And that's where it's at today. The idea of building a mega church is done. But there's millions and millions of people out there, and God has seen fit to give us over 1,000 of them, that we have an opportunity to help with the Word of God. And along with that, I don't know what to tell you. And we're going to talk about this Sunday. I don't want to get into it tonight because I got other things that I want to cover. But and this happens all the time. Right now as I speak, we got 3 people moving from across the country to come to this church. And it's a thing where God just keeps bringing them in. They have nothing where they're at. There's no church. They see us online. And, you know, I know people who won't drive across town to come to church. But that says something about their character, you know, that they want the truth of the Word of God so desperately that they're willing to uproot themselves through their own discomfort to get to a place where they can actually learn the Bible. And yet, I'm telling you, there's little pockets like that all across this country of guys who are doing that. We have Chris Gardner here tonight. Chris is an old-time guy with me from back almost since I came to Kansas City. And you're up in Wisconsin, right, Chris? Up in where at in Wisconsin?
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. Okay. And here again, you know, one of my boys from years ago doing a job, man, and a little church up there that is reaching people and doing the work. They're all over the place. And, of course, but, you know, when I say they're all over the place, they're little pockets. But there's a vast desert of apostasy out there where people are starving to death. And so not only are they following us online, but they're actually moving here to be part of it. And it's a thing where, you know, I can't explain that. I just praise God for it. It has to do with with the Bible we stand for and the truth we stand for, and then the people out there in this church who extend themselves to really reach people. So on a weekly basis, I've got pastors that call me. They're actually teaching their people, and they're struggling with understanding the Bible. I got people who call me with questions, or they email me with questions, and I'll call them back and try to work with them and help them. And so there's times that questions will come in, and I don't always tell you about it when they come in. I just do it. But tonight I want to take a question that came in, and it's really I've gotten this question in different variations of this quite a few times. But I want to take the time to show you something tonight, and I think that all of you will learn from it. And you pastors out there that we have been talking, and all of you folks out there that I've been working with you, or maybe my people are working with you, this will be invaluable to you tonight. This is a really good question, and it deserves a really good answer. More than just off the top of your head, this is what you got. So let me begin. Let me give you the question first. It says, and there's several parts to it. If God took the time to make the universe and all the host of heaven so he could give his creation a choice to love him and worship him, why will we be exactly like Christ when we are in eternity? Wouldn't that be love potion number 9? That's that song back in the 50s, you know, that you give the person to drink. You know, these other people know about love potion number 9. And it's a thing, would that be love potion number 9? If, in other words, God making you drink something or make you love him in some form or the other. If we will be, in fact, Christ when in eternity, why not just manifest himself a trillion times over and cut out the middleman? And then another part of the questions, in eternity, will we have any individualism? Another question, does that matter? Another question, can I not wrap my brain around it because I am human? Now, like I said, I get questions like this all the time, and a lot of people will call me or email me with issues that are similar to this. Some of it deals with just things in the Bible, but the majority of it deals with future eternal events. I lovingly call it FEE, future eternal events, things that are going to happen out in eternity that is hard for some people to grasp. We had a guy here preach several years ago who's a great guy, and he's a good friend of mine. And he had tuned in on Bible study night, and this guy has been a pastor for years and years and years, and this guy has been, he's a good preacher, and he's a great guy. But he had tuned in on a Bible study night when we had talked about, I don't remember the question, but we had talked about the fact that we are going to be God, or we are going to be Christ when we get our glorified bodies. And you see, that was so foreign to him. He grew up in the standard Baptist mentality that could never happen in eternity. Oh, that is so far out. But when you ask him what's happening in eternity, he would have a clue. And it's a thing where you find this all the time. And immediately, and I like the guy. He's a good friend of mine. So I wasn't going to beat him up with it. I just basically walked him around the park a little bit and asked him some questions that he didn't have the answers to. And it was obvious that he has fallen victim to what so many of God's people fall victim to, that I really want to talk to you about before we get into the question itself. Because you know me, when I get a question, when I teach it to you, I want to wring everything out of it I can. I don't want a drop being wasted. I want us to glean everything we can out of it. So same way with this. This is a great question. And like I said, and it deserves a good audience and a good answer. So I want to do that. And, it's a thing where, for me, the key word for any Christian, and this is completely foreign, and I don't understand why it's foreign, but the key word for anything in your Bible and anything that we do as Christians should be the word understanding. And I know that doesn't sound like much. The word understanding. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. No. You don't get it. In the Bible, and we laid this out in the book of Proverbs, and this is why sometimes I wonder why what people are doing with what I'm giving them, because we have laid this out before, that in the book of Proverbs, when we came through it, about 6-7 years, I showed you that Proverbs defines three things for you. It defines knowledge, it defines wisdom, and it also defines understanding. And I told you how that, you know, knowledge will be the facts of something. And of course, when you get wisdom, then what you have done is you've taken the facts and you've developed it into wisdom. And facts and wisdom is something that any unsaved man can have. And you see that in operation in science, you see that operation in business, you see that operation in every aspect of life. But what an unsaved man can never have from a Bible standpoint is understanding. Because the Bible defines understanding as what God is doing. And this is the problem. So many of God's people can accumulate facts. They even can translate that into some kind of wisdom. But where they fall short is being able to understand from God's standpoint exactly everything that He is doing. So you'll get into circumstances, especially in the future. And then you'll struggle out there because of the fact that you don't see and understand, you know, what God is doing. In the Bible, God's viewpoint and what is really He's doing from Genesis to Revelation. And the question is, do you really understand that? Now, here's what most of God's people do, and this is what I deal with all week long. And this is not a criticism. It's just the way it is. They hear things. Somebody will preach something, and it's really good, and it's really exciting, and it's really something that impacts them on a deep level. So then they'll take that and they'll try to teach it to somebody else or even try to understand it themselves. And of course, they fail in that. I have guys that hear what I do on Thursday night Bible study or Sunday morning, pastors. And again, this is not a criticism, but what they do is this. They hear what I say, so then they take that to the people in their church and try to replicate it because they know it's exciting, they know it's fresh, they know it's something that is not the norm because it's in the depth of the Bible, but they try to teach that to their people and they fall flat on their face because the people will ask questions of why this or why that, and they don't know the answers to it. Why? Because they don't understand it. All they're doing it is Paul parroting what they heard somebody else say. And I tell these guys, you should never try to teach anything of any depth, especially in the future realm of things, if you don't understand it inside out, upside down, backwards, and forwards. Because when you don't do that, and that's called understanding, when you don't understand what you're trying to talk about, then all you're going to do is make it confusing for people, and you're going to lose credibility. And it's a thing that I see it all the time. And I talk about this all the time. Understanding, and I have ever since we came through Proverbs. And now for my own verses, you know, understanding is not something that you get because you've been a Christian for 20 years. Understanding is not something that you get because you go through your Bible a lot or you read your Bible or you study your Bible. That's not how you get understanding. You have to, it's not a natural thing for you and me to understand what God is doing. The Bible says his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And for me to try to think and understand on God's level from a human being, as he says here, can I not wrap my brain around this because I'm human? Absolutely you can. You have to develop understanding. And we have a complete breakdown of that word and what it really means. So I'm going to give you, first of all, the verses that I used years ago when I realized how important it was to get understanding. And I just didn't follow what somebody told me. I just didn't, you know, listen to somebody's Bible study and then jump into my Bible and say, well, I wonder what all this means. It all means something, but you'll never figure it out till you get the key word for everybody in this room and everybody listening tonight, and that is the word understanding. And you have to develop that. That's not something that just falls into your lap. And so, you know, years ago, and I've taught you these things, I don't know how many times. And, you know, in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, you know, it tells us that this is where I started. And I'm not going to go through these tonight because I don't have the time. And I'm not going to do it because I've done it probably 100 times. Why don't you have those notes in your Bible? Why aren't you systematically developing a process in your life of developing understanding? Because if you don't, you're going to pothole the Bible all the rest of your life and never come to a place where you really understand what God is doing, whether it be, well, I'll show you in a minute, certainly not on an eternity. But in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I've told you many, many times, in that thing you'll find the six things that you have to do for you to get understanding, where you start. This is the process. And, you know, we get the idea that we just, you know, I'm just going to sit down and open up my Bible and, you know, I heard this, somebody say this, I heard somebody say that, and now I don't understand. Of course you don't, because you have never understood that understanding from God's standpoint has to be developed. And where do you start? Well, it's where I started. When I went to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, there are six things there that will lead to my understanding. Then the second thing I found was in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. And there it says, they that seek the Lord understand all things. Oh boy. Now let me just say this to you. You see, this is where we limit ourselves. We want to understand the future things, eternity, our glorified body, God creating the universe. But you know what? That verse tells me clearly and plainly that you need to understand all things. But here's what we do. We forget all the other things, and all we want is the Bible things. And that's not biblical. You see, understanding is a process of growth that covers every aspect of your life. It's like this. Here's me and you. And what we want now tonight is we want the Bible. I want understanding the Bible. All the deep things of the Word of God I want to know. But, see, the Bible takes that from you. And this is why you always got to come back to the Bible, because it says there that they that seek the Lord, are you seeking Him? You don't have to answer that. Are you seeking Him? Somebody says, how do you seek Him? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, maybe? See? See how it connects? And it says that when you seek the Lord, you understand all things. Now, what does that mean? Well, again, everybody wants to understand the Bible, but you know, all things. So you need to understand your ministry. Do you understand that? Do you even have one? Or are you too busy trying to get that one? I'll tell you another one. Understanding your family. You know why guys, men and women lose their kids, lose their families? They don't understand the family. But oh, you want this, but you don't want that. He that seeks the Lord understands all things. Now, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it tonight because of the importance of this. You know what the word all means in the Hebrew? It means all. I'll tell you something else. You understand your marriage. I'll tell you something else. You understand your job. Why God gave you the job. Why he gave you the job he gave you. I'll tell you something else. Do you understand the concept of the New Testament church? You see, understand all things. But we have it in our mindset. And I deal with these guys all the time. All you want to understand is that Bible. Your family goes to hell. Your marriage goes to hell. New Testament church goes to hell. Your ministry goes to hell. And your job is just a job that you do and you have no clue. He that seeks the Lord understands all things. It's a process. And the seeking there will be found in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, you've heard me talk about Psalms chapter 119. 176 verses. 176 verses that each verse will tell you something different about the Word of God as it applies to you. Now, I've told you many, many times about that's probably the heart of the Bible. And you should develop a prayer out of there for God to teach you the Bible. And I've never really given you this phase of it. But since we're talking about tonight, here it comes. Do you want understanding? Do you want to know, understand everything? Do you? What's the process? You seek. Proverbs 2 tells you how to seek, but then you have to pray. Are you big on prayer? Are you one of these guys who are a prayer warrior? Really? Do you talk about praying all the time and prayer all the time? Okay, Buster, here it comes. In Psalms 119, verses 1 through 176, there's 8 prayers for you to get understanding. And you don't even know where they're at. See, you want this one, but you don't want the rest of them. And I deal with guys like that all the time. I have pastors like that. And it's a thing where here, and this is the reason why God is blessing us the way he is and putting people here and giving us everything and giving us everything on our heart's desire that we could ever want. The bottom line is simply this. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, a good understanding have they who do his commandments. Now, I told you last week in Luke chapter 17, the last couple of weeks, that you don't get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, nor do you get an inheritance for the things that you were commanded to do. Now, let me just play a really dirty trick on you. In the New Testament church age, what have you been commanded to do? I know you think the Ten Commandments don't go anymore, and you're right. But there are some New Testament commandments that you have been commanded to do, and you're out there pretending you're doing what? And you can't have understanding unless you keep those commandments. How do you do that if you don't even know what they are? Now, this is the sad state of Christianity today. This is why this church is such a beacon to so many people out there. And it's why this church is touching the people's lives and God is bringing them in from around the country because there's people out there who really want understanding. Hey, there's people here. There are people in this church, in my church, that are members of my church that have incredible understanding. But they didn't get it just because they signed up to come to church here. They developed it. They developed it. And I'll tell you something else. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 says, a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. You know what that tells me? That tells me the people you associate with is going to determine how you get understanding. I don't want negative people in my life. I don't want people in my life that continually trash everybody else. And that is not conducive to getting understanding. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. I want people around me who are going to keep me sharp, not dull my edge. And it's as simple as that. You see, there's a process to it. And most people, they get into the Bible. They don't understand these things about the Bible, especially the stuff way out there. And it's because they don't have any understanding. And I'm telling you, if you don't develop understanding in your life through the process that God tells you to do it, the Bible will always be a Rubik's Cube to you. It'll always be a puzzle that you'll never be able to put together. And you have to develop understanding. It will not just come to you over time. The human mind, the human brain, you and me, cannot get on God's level. There has to be a supernatural transition. It has to be God taking you and me in our human form and getting out of the human mind. And as the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you don't allow that mind in you, and you don't develop that mind, you don't allow that mind to change the way you look at things, change the way you look at people, change the way you look at the church, change the way you look at your marriage, change the way you look at your family, change the way you look at ministry, change the way you look at your job. And if all you do is just want to really know the Bible, you'll fall flat on your face every time, because they that seek the Lord understand all things. And in your life and my life, there should come a time when you understand all things to the best of your human ability. And we can't think on God's level. There's just no way that we can do that. And most of God's people make a terrible mistake. And I talk to them all week long. And some of them I can help them, some of them I couldn't. I have found that there are people who are saved, who are on their way to heaven, but they have a complete unteachable spirit. You can't give them anything. And it's a place where they'll never get any place in their life, because they have absolutely no plan to get any understanding. And I'm just telling you right now, for you guys here, if you don't have a plan in place, if you're not systematically working toward that goal, it's more than just coming to Bible study and writing down all the things that I talk about. It's more than just, we've been through the book of Proverbs. I don't know how I could ever have done any other better way on the book of Proverbs. We were there, 7-8 years? We squeezed every drop out of every word. What did you do with it? Proverbs chapter 2 was a long time ago, 1 through 5. Is that part of your process? Or do you just get into your Bible and start seeing this stuff and then scratch your head and say, gee, I don't understand. You're right, you don't understand. Why? Because you have no understanding. And you'll never have understanding until you understand understanding from the Bible standpoint and you get God's viewpoint on it. And it's just that simple. So, when it comes to understanding these eternal things, I have guys that'll call me and they'll say to me, and they'll ask questions just like this. And hey, these are good people. These aren't bad people. And these are really good questions. But I want my people to learn. And if I can use something like this to get just one or two of you to headed in the right direction, then I've accomplished what I want. When they'll call me up with something that I said. I had one guy call me up and he says, "Hey, where exactly did you teach this? I taught it and somebody asked me a question and I didn't know the answer to that question. So where was it at you taught that?" Well, like, I really remember that. When it comes to understanding eternal things, when these guys call me, and I'm kind about it, and I'm not mean to them about it, but you know, you never learn if you're not held accountable. And that's another problem we have. People, they want this, but they don't want the accountability of the rest of it. They just want the center one. And of course, it doesn't work that way. So when you try to hold people accountable, sometimes they get upset about it, and hey, that's the way it is. I mean, it's just the way. But when they'll call me, a guy will lay out something that is real deep. And my answer to him, well, you know what? And he pretends he knows something about the Bible. And my first question to him would be, okay, let's go back here and lay this out for me, because fundamentally, maybe we can help you here. Lay out for me Proverbs chapter 8, because that's where it all starts. Proverbs chapter 8 is the deepest chapter anywhere in your Bible. It is without a doubt, if there's such a thing as grassroots with the Bible, this is grassroots. This is where it all starts. This is where it's all defined. This is where, if you're going to ever understand what God is going to do way out there in the future, if you don't understand and can lay out completely Proverbs chapter 8, you're wasting your time. Now, I say that to you guys. I taught you in depth Proverbs chapter 8. What notes do you have on it? How have you added that into your process to get understanding? When the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman," that is an understatement. What we want is to understand the Bible without doing the work. Never happened. You have to develop your understanding of what God is doing. It won't come to you in a dream. It won't come to you because after you put 20 years, 10 years, 15 years of going to church, it has nothing to do with going to church. It has nothing to do with reading your Bible, though obviously those things are important. It has to do with you recognizing and developing a process by which you're going to get God's understanding, and in process, put your own understanding out of the way. You know why people have problems with other Christians? They don't understand. You show me somebody that has a problem with somebody and yet they're not willing to sit down and work that out biblically, you got somebody who doesn't understand. They don't understand ministry. The ministry is people. And it's a thing where if you're not willing to sit down and you work out your problems, then you don't have any understanding when it comes. But then you want understanding here. See? Doesn't happen. So I would say to the guy, okay, let's go back to Proverbs 8. Do you have your Bible? Yes, I do. We're on the phone now. Take me back to Proverbs chapter 8. I'm there. Okay, lay that out for me. You have a clue. I'll say, okay, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 2, read verses 1 through 5. Lay that out for me. I haven't got a clue. And in understanding their questions and all the other things that I get, and they're good questions, I try to get them to see this. Fundamentally, that chart over there probably is the greatest chart I have ever seen in my life. I have learned more from that and used that, and it's on that wall for a reason. But I would start trying to help the guy a little bit, and I would say, you know, God is building a government. That's where it all starts. And I would ask them, show me in the Bible where you fundamentally start with that. Lay it out. Do you understand it? Don't tell me what somebody else preached. Don't tell me what you read. Don't tell me what you heard in a message or a Bible study. Take me into the Bible, because where it fundamentally starts with God is God is going to build and establish a government. Now, that's where you have to start. And I'll tell you what else he's building, because God is a builder. I'll tell you what else God is building within that government. He's building a body. He's building a family. Now, this is very elementary, but he's building a government. He's building a government within a body within a house. And that house will be the nation of Israel, but it's also the second heaven, as we know, the universe, God's big house. In my Father's house were many mansions, John 14. So when you start to think, what is God doing with all this stuff out here? And I'm not going to go through all that. I'm going to give you the fundamentals of where you should start if you're going to do the things I gave you already. And you would realize that God is building a government. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Can you explain that to me? Could you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, where it says, the government peace, there shall be no end. Can you explain that? That's eternity. Notice he didn't say anything about glorified bodies. He didn't say anything about people looking like Christ. He said in the greatest definitive verse in the Bible on the future, he said, unto us a son is given, unto us, and he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's where it starts. Now, the next thing you should begin to understand, that within this government, there is a body, a people. We have just come through John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, I took 3 weeks to lay out for you the 7 members of that body, from Genesis to Revelation. I laid out the 7 members that in eternity, in God's house, within his government, is going to make up that body. If I had time tonight, I'd like to walk up and down here and see your notes on John chapter 3. You see, with most of God's people, the reason why you never get understanding is it goes in one ear and out the other. You don't have any systematic way to take the information that you get and put Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, that you come to the point that you seek the Lord and understand all things, that you come away with God's understanding. But, oh, you want this one. See? So, let's go back to our question for a moment here. And like I said, I get questions like this. This is not just this question. This is, I get these like this all the time, but this is a great teaching tool because it's a great question. If God made the universe and all the heavenly host of heaven to give his creation a choice to love him and worship him, now let's stop right there. First of all, that's not the reason he created it all. You see, you're off track already. That's not the reason he created. If you think God created all that so he could give his creation a choice, you're pretty shallow when it comes to understanding the Bible. He didn't do all that to give man. Now, audibly, man gets a choice, but he did all of that to establish a government, a house, and a family. And yes, within that family, they do make choices. No question about it. But you see, if you don't understand the reason why he did it all in the first place, if you don't understand Proverbs chapter 8, if you don't understand, you know, how this thing flows itself out, if you don't see the establishment of a government is what God originally intended to do and is going to do, and within that he has a house, and within that house he has a family that has seven members made up from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And if you can't explain that, you don't have any understanding. Now, the next thing. When God made everything that he made it to build something. And he made it to build something that was going to reflect. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still. He fundamentally made those things, this government, for his honor and glory. You had nothing to do with it. Fundamentally, at the beginning, it's for him. You got in as one of the members of the family, seven members. And I wonder if I passed out pieces of paper right now and made you close your Bible, if you could write them down. And I would dare sin to say that probably maybe half of you, three quarters of you probably could. And it's a thing where that's because you have applied yourself to getting understanding. And to you, and it doesn't just show here, see? Shows here. It shows here. It shows here. It shows here. And it shows here. Well, you know why? Because he that seeketh the Lord understand what? What? All. Together, loud. What? All things. Now, how do you get around that except you're unteachable? And you just want to focus on that. And of course, who took my glasses? Oh. You can't do that. Now, the second part of the question. Why would we be exactly like Christ when in eternity? Now, okay, a great question. Nothing wrong with that question. Not a thing wrong with it. I'm asked things like that. In fact, that's what my buddy asked me. It's a little more extensive than that. And my answer to that is, explain to me Romans chapter 8. Could you? Explain to me what's taking place in Romans chapter 8, because Romans chapter 8 is your definitive chapter in the New Testament on you getting your new body. You see, this is how you get understanding. You have to build it. Another one would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you understand those two places, the question is elementary. When you understand Proverbs chapter 8, the question is elementary. When you understand the seven members of God's family within his government, within his house, the reason why he created it, and yes, Everybody had to make their choice. But that's not where it starts. It starts with God saying, I'm going to establish a government. I'm going to establish a house. And I'm going to establish a family. And then God looked down through the Bible, and because God made the Bible in dispensations, hey, write down the 12 dispensations for me. Come on. Come on, big guy. Show me what you got. Come on. Write down the 12 dispensations, because those 12 dispensations figure into the seven parts of the body, which figures into the government, which figures into the plan, which is the reason why God did it all in the first place. That's called understanding. And then why do we get a glorified body as, you know, as the Son of God? And of course, now how do I answer this one? This is so deep that if somebody is still playing with a Bible like a three-year Eskimo with nuclear fission and an atom bomb, it's kind of hard to explain. Why does God have a church age? Why does God have men and women who become sons of God and get a glorified body as a son of God? Well, let me just give you the skivvy of it, because heaven's incomplete. And before God can do what he needs to do, the number of heaven of sons of God needs to be completed again. Of course, you know that. That's found in Isaiah chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 14, Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 13. This is called understanding. Looking at everything that God's doing, and because you have systematically developed your understanding. Most people just, honestly, just play with the Bible. We've got people at our own church that play with the Bible. I've got people, obviously, on a website who call me who just play with the Bible. I mean, just because somebody has a good question and they're good people doesn't mean they're going to do what they need to do, because it takes work. And it may necessitate that you have to change some things about who you are to get that done. So heaven right now is incomplete. And I could take the time and lay that all out for you, but why? 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 So you can add another piece to your jigsaw puzzle without investigating it yourself? So you can collect all the information that Bob gives you so you don't have to do Proverbs chapter 2, that you don't have to get understanding in all things? Really? Now, I'm a fair guy, and you know that on Thursday night Bible study, you're my people. And I will give you anything that you need to help you. And these guys who call in to me, like the guy that sent in these questions, they're good people. This is not a criticism of them. This is hopefully the pastors that are listening to me tonight and the people that are out there listening to me tonight will understand that you're wasting your time until you put a process in your life. Because your problem is, and our problem is, no understanding of God, who he is, what he's doing. To us, he's an enigma. And I'm not sure what the word enigma means, but I think it means a mystery. We can't figure him out. We scratch our head. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why is God giving us glorified bodies? Why did God make a universe for his creation that they could choose to love him? He didn't. He didn't. God's original purpose was to populate an infinite universe with people made in his image, subject to him as almighty sovereign. This first trial ends in Genesis chapter 1-2 with a rebellion of these spiritual beings and a re-creation and a recommissioning for man, made lower than the angels to begin the work anew. This trial ends in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. The subsequent revelation of God, that is the rest of the Bible for you that don't know what subsequent revelation means, is dedicated to an accurate record of God Himself becoming a man to redeem fallen creation and to absolutely ensure that God will finish to perfection His original plan. And you know what it is? A government, a house, and a family. That's been up. We've been here 17 years. That's been up there 17 years. Anybody got that in? Don't raise your hand. Anybody got that in your Bible? I do. I never want to forget that. And I'll tell you, oh, He gave it away. The first trial ends in Genesis 1, verse 2, with a rebellion of these spiritual beings. Oh, there's the old sons of God. There's the old heavens now incomplete. I gave it away. Now, the third part of the question. Great question. Why not just manifest Himself a trillion times and cut out the middleman? Hello? That's what He did. There is no middleman. The trillions and trillions of people go from the end of Acts, or Acts where the church age starts, up to the rapture of the church. How many people have been born again in the image of God and become sons of God? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall see Him like He is. Right now, you are the sons of God. Why? Because you have been born again. Oh, Romans chapter 8 is the rest of the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the rest of the story. He did replicate Himself trillions and trillions of times. Look at the person next to you. Ask them if they're saved. Go ahead. Ask them. Say, I want to hear it. Are you saved? Did they all say yes? You're a replica of Jesus Christ. Just a small number of trillions. Trillions. They're going to fit in to God's government, in God's house, and part of God's family. And just like you and me in the church age, just like the Gentiles before the law, just like the people, Jews after the law, and just like the, everybody else in that family, you have a specific job that you do. Do you know what that is? Do you know how those seven parts fit into the overall? That's understanding. You see, it's the difference between serious Bible study by going back and really getting the understanding that you need so you can get deeper into God's mind, or you just piddle with it. You hear something that somebody said and you just like it, so you get in there and you lose yourself and you come up with a lot of screwy ideas. Believe me, I talk to them all week long. Understanding what God did and why He did it and how it will fit into His house, His government, and His family. And if you can't explain those three, you have no understanding. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to give you something. I've never given this to you before. But I think for you in my church and for my dear people out there that are listening to this, you pastors and you people that are out there that love this church and want to be part of this church but can't be here, I get that, but I'm here to help you. And so tonight, based on this excellent question, a great question, I want to help you understand how this thing works. Now, in Proverbs chapter 9, let me read verse 1. Wisdom. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens and crieth upon the highest places of the city. Now, I won't even take the time tonight to try to show you how that it goes from the Old Testament to the second coming of Christ in those two verses. I don't want to tax your human mind. Verse 4, whoso is simple. You simple tonight? That always requires a yes. Are you simple tonight? Good. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding. See that thing? Then, wisdom builds a house. And that house is built on seven pillars, hewn, chiseled, out of a rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, and that rock was Christ. So now, when you get wisdom, and it, you allow it to build your house, it winds up giving you understanding. Now, you've heard me teach this before. Historically, the seven pillars here will be found in Isaiah chapter, I think it's 6, where in the Old Testament you have the Holy Spirit of God manifesting itself in seven spirits. When you look at Samson as a type of Christ in the Old Testament, you'll notice that he got his strength because he had long hair. Ah, no, he didn't. He had strength because he had his long hair woven into seven locks. Type of the seven spirits in the Old Testament, see? That's called understanding. U-N-D-E-R-S-T-A-N-N-Y-E-S-E-S. Understanding. I learned a long time ago, you don't have to spell real good to get understanding. Thank you, Jesus. So historically, it's the seven spirits of God in the Old Testament to Israel that were hewn out of the rock, Deuteronomy chapter 32, that gave Israel their wisdom from which they got understanding, which they lost, of course. Doctrinally, it'll be the seven pillars by which the Bible is built on. And I've given you that before. But inspirationally, it's to you and to me. And if you're ever going to get understanding, you're going to have seven things in your life that come out of the rock that wisdom gives you that will translate and transform into your life into understanding. Seven pillars for the body of Christ. Now, the first one is an obvious one. The first one is, and these are all found in the Bible. We've looked at all of them so far. I'm just putting them together for you now. The first one will be you getting the right Bible. Now, that's a give me. Everybody can say that, and even the guys who don't have understanding who call me on the phone, they got the right Bible. But let me just say this, just because you got a King James Bible doesn't mean you have understanding. The second thing you got to have is the right church. You got to be a part of a church who understands how to get you understanding. You got to be part of a church, and let's just face it, we're going to talk about some of this on Sunday when we get into John chapter 5, into the next section, but you're going to see that God's structure for the New Testament is the church, no local New Testament church, and it's just that simple, and it's a thing where that is lost today. and people go to no church, but they want to get into the Bible. See, they want that, but they don't want that. You can't have it that way. You will get screwed up somewhere along the line. I get stuff from people you would not believe. I'm telling you, I don't ever say anything about it, but I'll tell you, by day in the morning, I'll wind up with 50, and I know some of you go to work and you get 1,000 emails. I get that. I'm not that lucky. But I'll sometimes have 50, 60, 70, and half of them will be from somebody who wants to know something or wants this or wants that or has some screwball idea about everything. I'll have people send me stuff all over the place. Several weeks ago or a month ago, I had this guy send me, I guess it was a guy, he sent me this long thing on giving to God and possessions and money and all this stuff, and it was a long, 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 treatise type thing of what it is. And I said, this was really good, but I may ask you a question. You laid all this stuff out on giving and money, and boy, like you really got it all together. Do you tithe to your church? I got no answer. It takes a lot to impress me today, because I know there's so many hypocrites out there, phonies. Oh, yes, God, money, this and all that stuff, but you don't tithe yourself, do you? See? And I don't care about tithing. I am just saying. We Christianity today is a bunch of gas. Most Christians remind me of somebody that ate too many bean burritos. And they put this stuff out, and you see right through it. You see right through it. Because you know what? I don't care what anybody says. If you ain't got this down, if you ain't got this down, this down, this down, this down, this down, I am not interested. You know why? Because he that seeketh after the Lord understandeth what?
All things.
All things. Now, this is why people don't like me. And that's hard for me because I'm a very likable guy. Yeah, Will knows. But you know why people don't like me? Because I don't let you slip and slide. That's why. You see, to me, the book's the book. And if somebody's going to tell me all this stuff about whatever, and yet they don't follow it themselves, what am I going to do? Believe you? Follow you? Phony. Christianity is a cheap suit. It reminds me back in the day when they used to have those seersucker suits. Remember those suits? You remember those, huh? Seersucker suits? What is that? Sears had a sale and you were the sucker. So, write Bible. Write church. Because the job of the New Testament church is to help you develop your understanding. Now, maybe you don't want it. Maybe you'll never get it. That's okay. My job is to be here for the ones who do. We have a bunch of them. I have a bunch of them online. Now, the third thing you got to have, you got to have a right Bible and a right church, and you got to have a right pastor. What good is it to go to a church that doesn't have a plan for you to develop your understanding when you have a pastor who doesn't understand any of it either? Now, I don't care if he got the King James Bible. You are wasting, and I'm not saying this is the only place, but I am saying the 90% of the pastors out there have no understanding about what God's doing. And all these guys out there that are sending me stuff and this and that are pastors, you know why they're doing it? Because they don't have a clue. And the ones that are out there that are sending me stuff every week and we talk on the phone and I help them through things, you know why they call me? Because their pastor doesn't know. And that's a tragedy. And I guess I wouldn't have to take the time to go in, and I don't have to tell you about the right Bible, but I guess I wouldn't have to go into the book of Acts to show you how to find the right church. And I guess I wouldn't have to go into the book of 1 and 2 Timothy to show you how to find the right pastor. But I would if you wanted me to. Then the fourth pillar. right attitude. I watch people when they get up against the truth of the Word of God, how it affects their attitude. I've seen people come to this church over the years, and all my ministry, really, and they do fine till the Holy Spirit of God starts to work on them someplace in their life that they don't want to give into, and then suddenly they have a problem, and it's somebody else's problem, and it's an attitude problem. And that's the way it works. You know what your attitude ought to be? Your attitude ought to be that you'll fix anything wrong with you when the Word of God shows you what needs to be fixed. How's that working for you? I mean, he said, he that seeketh the Lord understand what again?
All things.
Not just this one. That one, that one, that one, that one, and that one. The right attitude would be Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. That is where the right attitude of getting and learning understanding is in those five verses, the six keys to getting understanding. And then the fifth thing would be the right associations. Negative people will destroy you. Negative people will destroy your family. Negative people will take the edge off of you that you can't be a clean cutting tool for God because they're like a pulled hamstring. They keep you from running for God. They always will have a problem with somebody. They'll always be trashing somebody. I had a guy call me here, and some of our guys were working with this kid, and he's a good kid. And I hadn't seen him at church for quite a while. And so he called me out of the clear blue. This was, six or seven months ago. And I talked to him and I asked him, where he'd been and why he hadn't been to church. And he proceeded to tell me that he went out to dinner with a couple of couples that no longer go to church here. And he says, they just trashed you, the church, and everybody in this place for 2 hours during dinner. And he says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with Christianity. And you know what? Happens all the time. And you know what? It's a thing where, hey, those couples have no idea the damage they did in some young couple's life. And you know what the real tragedy is? They wouldn't care if they didn't know. You know why? Wrong attitude. Wrong association. You know what that guy's problem was? The guy that won't come back to church? And he's a great guy. You know what his problem was fundamentally? Association. If I go out to eat with a couple or a couple of couples and you start trashing somebody in this church or somebody that I know, you know what? You're welcome to your opinion, but I'm out of there. And I will get up right there in the spot and I will say it. We had a lady that used to come to church here who's a very nice lady, and she goes to another church now, and a couple here that left the church here a while back, they went to this church, and somebody said to her, you came out of Old Pass Baptist Church. Well, this lady used to go to Old Pass Baptist Church, and this couple immediately began to rip us apart. You know what this lady did? She says, you know what? I used to go to that church, and I love that church, and there's a lot of good people in that church, and I want no part of this. And she walked away. What would you do? If everybody in Christianity grabbed the guy by the nape of the neck and banged his head up against the wall when he started to do something, you know what? We put an end to it. But we won't. Why do we continue to associate with people who their whole goal in life is to be negative? Association. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know what I love about you guys? You make me sharp. You keep me sharp. You know what I love about you guys out there on the internet? Even though you may not have understanding the way you should, you'll get it. Most of you probably will. I'll help you. But you know what I love about you? You keep me sharp. You're not negative about anything. The negative people will never get here. Never. Because the Bible says that when you seek the Lord, then you understand in what?
All things.
One more time. All things. So you stay away from those things. I'll tell you what the sixth one is. The right spirit. Job 26:4, the judgment seat of Christ. When it's all said and done, he's going to ask every one of us, whose spirit came from you? You see, the spirit that comes from you will go right up the line here. The right spirit will always keep the right association. The right spirit will always keep the right attitude. The right spirit will always seek the right pastor. The right spirit will always seek the right church. And the right spirit will always get the right Bible. Just that simple. And then the seventh thing, Philippians 1:6, the right work. It always amazes me. And I see this all the time. Guys who want to learn the Bible, I want to understand the deep things of the Bible, you have absolutely no ministry. Not a one. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't even pretending to do something. But you always want to focus on this one. Da-da-da-da-da! But there's nothing here. And usually, there's nothing here. And usually, there's nothing here. And usually, there's nothing here. Because he that seeketh the Lord, understand what?
All things.
You don't get to pick and choose where you lay your understanding. You develop it in your life, and it comes into every aspect of your life if it's real. And if it's not real, then you'll just pick and choose. It's the Burger King Christianity. You can have it your way. So those seven pillars from an inspirational application will be the right Bible, the right church, the right pastor, the right attitude, the right association, the right spirit, and the right work. Now, I deal with guys all the time. After this, I'll probably have several of them over the next couple of days, that want to get fix it. And I'm not into, somebody doesn't like what I said, then I just keep it to yourself. I don't really care. You know what? I'm not interested in what you don't like. If you can argue with tonight, you've got some serious problems. So I just assume you take it someplace else. But I tell you, there will be guys that call me, and women, they'll call me this next week or email me or whatever, and they'll say, Bob, how do I fix this? And I've had pastors that I've talked to that I've went into different things like this, maybe not the same way, but they always say, okay, I'm in. How do I fix this? Well, it's an easy fix. I mean, it is easy, but it isn't. That Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, that you're building a house. You're building a house, and God has a house for your soul, eternal in the heavens. And God's got a body that he's going to give you. And right now, you got saved. God separated your soul from your flesh. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of God, and that's what makes you a child of God. 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 8 tells you about the two adoptions, and it is a day coming but suffice it to say, right now, you're in a building program. You're building God's house. Now, let me ask you a question. I thought about this years and years ago, when I was back in Canton. I had a friend of mine who was a great guy. And he decided that he was going to save a lot of money and build his own house. So he ordered all the lumber, all the sheetrock, all the rafters and everything, and he had the foundation poured and all this stuff. And he went to work on it, and he built a house. And I remember going over after it was finished and looking at it, and it was unbelievable. Bad. I mean, it was very obviously that this guy had all the materials, but he didn't understand how to build a house. And a lot of God's people come to church, Bible studies, and you get all the material, but you don't know how to build a house. And it wouldn't pass code. It wouldn't get close to passing code. I don't want to, you know, exaggerate the thing, but it was one of those houses that when you turned the lights on, the water ran, and when you turned the water on, the lights came on. It was a disaster. Nothing was plumb, whatever that means. It was a thing where it was the roof leaked. There were places and gaps in where the walls didn't meet. And he brought in a contractor that was in our church back then, Jerry Boffman's brother. His name was Ronnie Boffman. He was a contractor. And Ronnie came in and looked at it. You know what Ronnie said? He says, there's no way to fix this. He says, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to tear everything off down to the foundation. And then we'll build it right. You know what I tell these pastors? You know what I'll tell you? If you build your house wrong and you don't have these things cooking for you here, you got two choices. You can continue to go on and play the game. How many ever saw the movie The Right Stuff? It's a movie you all ought to watch. Well, there's an old bar, an old restaurant down there, Poncho's Place. Remember that? And she's an old rough gal. And at that time, it was at Edwards Air Force Base, and that's where all the hot test pilots were. And all the pilots came in that were wannabes who wanted to be test pilots, and they'd show up down there at her place and, you know, and brag about it. And one of them said, "Hey, sis," because they had all these pictures of all these pilots on the wall. And they said, "Hey, sis, what do you got to do to get your picture on the wall?" Like you had to do something great. He had no understanding that those were guys who were killed test flying planes. He's stupid. And she looks at him and she says, "We got two kind of pilots here. We got your hot pilots that get all the hot planes, and then we have the pod knockers. What do you two pod knockers want to drink? And you can play with the Bible the rest of your life as a pod knocker, or you can get the thing together. But you know what it's going to take? Taking it off to the foundation." Foundation is the day you got saved. You know what happens if you keep building a bad built house? It just keeps getting worse. At some point in your life, and I tell people this all the time, I know everybody gets screwed up and makes some bad mistakes. I'm not criticizing anybody for anything, and certainly anything I said tonight was not a criticism. It's the truth. You have to get understanding, and going the way that most of God's people go, you're not going to get it. You've got to have all of it. You can't just have what you want out of it, because as you develop understanding, it gets into every aspect of your life. And you know why it's not into every aspect of your life? Because you haven't developed it. You pick one thing, let the rest go. And it won't work that way. So it's a thing where you have got to come to the point where you take it down and you bring it down to the foundation. And then you start doing what I told you to do tonight. You start finding the process of putting it together. You start, if you have to start back where I gave you the things. You know where I'd start? I'd start by the 8 prayers in Psalms 119. For God to give you understanding. I'd start there. Because obviously you haven't been there. And you think that it just comes because what? You're a good guy? You come to church? No, it comes because you develop a plan, and Proverbs chapter 2 will give you the details of Psalms 119. Everything is right there for you, and you begin to build it from there. So, having said that, this is why here I want to help any of you. And you pastors out there, you people out there that call me every week or whatever, again, this is not a criticism. This is to help you. If you go out of here taking this as somebody taking a cheap shot at you, you know what? I'm not even going to say it. God bless.